And let's turn together this evening into Luke's Gospel, chapter 11. And we will read at verse 21. And I would like to ask you this evening, even though maybe you've had a house for a long time, is your home ready for occupancy? Now that, when, by the time we get through, I hope that we can answer that question, each and every one of us, whether we're a parent or whether we're a grandparent, because grandparents have a lot of influence on their grandchildren. A lot of children turn to the grandparent when they can't turn to the parent. So, when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, the Lord gave admonition to your sons and your sons' sons. So I can admonish my little grandson if he were here, but he isn't. But, according to Scripture, I could do that. So but the spanking belongs to the parents unless the parents aren't around, you know. But let's look together this evening. Look into the Word of God. Is your home ready for occupancy? Now in Psalm 127, we're told that children are a gift or a heritage. Psalm 127, verse 1, I believe it is, said that children are a gift of the Lord or a heritage of the Lord. Now remember that. The Lord has given them to you. They are a gift on loan to you from the Lord. The children are a heritage of the Lord. Now, let's read here in Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, and verse 21, and see what it's saying. It says, when a strong man armed, keepeth his palace or his home. And your house and the place where you dwell, your home should be a palace to you men. It's a palace because your queen is there and your wife should be a queen to you. Your heritages are there. Your children are there. So a strong man armed keepeth his palace, and when he does, his goods are safe. Listen to what the Word of God says. And who said that? The Lord Jesus Christ. A strong man armed keepeth his palace, and his goods are safe. Safe from whom? Safe from the wiles of the devil. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, you children that are here this morning, those of you who are still living under the household of your parents, you are to obey your parents because it says in the Lord, for this is right. You know, I really believe if you were to live in your parents' house and you didn't get married and you were to live there until you were 50 years old, you still should obey your parents. You're going to live there. You're going to make your dwelling there. That's kind of outlandish, but children, obey your parents in the Lord. And if something isn't wrong with you, when your time you're 50 years old, you should be out on your own. So let's see this here in the Word of God. Now, God built something around Job to protect him. God built a hedge around Job. God built that there so that Satan could do anything with him but one thing. And Satan could not take his what? His life. God built a hedge around Job. Job was his choice servant. God loved him. He loved God. And so God built a hedge around him. Now, let me ask you this. Are you determined that your children have a hedge around your home? And if you are determined, are you determined that the hedge that you build around your house, around your home, is firm? Are you determined that that would be the case? Parents, you need to have a hedge around your kids. You need to have a hedge around your home. And let me ask you this. As God put a hedge around Job so that Satan couldn't get to him, let me ask you this. Can Satan get to your child? Can Satan get to your home unless he goes through you and God or just you? Now, he'll get there if he just has to go through you. But have you made that hedge? Have you made a home that is strong? Have you made a hedge that is hole-proof? A hedge that with which Satan cannot get through. Now, I want us to look at Ephesians chapter 6, and I want us to look at the ingredients of this hedge. The ingredients spiritually of the hedge that you're to have around your home. And this is applicable to everyone in here, a hedge that we need to have around our home. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11, it tells us there to put on the whole armor of God. And the reason that we need to put on the whole armor of God is that we need to stand against the devil, who is always lurking about to get through the hedge. So, finally, we'll read verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, as we go down the way in this chapter of Scripture, the first thing that we need to put on, parents, listen to me, the first thing that we need to have in our head is truth. That is the first and foremost ingredient that you need in your head, the ingredient of truth. Without it, there is no foundation. Be honest with your kids. Tell them. They're smarter than you think they are. Be honest with them and tell them the truth. Tell them, and when you're building this hedge, let them see you build the hedge. Let them be aware of the hedge that is being built, and let them see that truth is the foundation. Now, let me ask you this, according to John 14 and 6, who is the truth? Who is John? Jesus Christ. He's the firm foundation, isn't he? And you can't build a hedge around your children, the proper kind of hedge, without him as the basis. Now let me say this to you parents, to you people this evening. A home makes an assembly. Yes, it does. And an assembly makes a home. And we need to have firm homes and firm hedges built around our homes, and then we will know what it means to have an assembling of people together. So be honest with your kids. And then the second thing, if you will look there in Ephesians chapter 6, the second ingredient that is necessary for the hedge is that of righteousness. Now what does that mean? It means that it must be clean and pure. Don't try to make a hedge and sweep the dirt under the rug. Your kids are watching. Don't try to do that. You see, if you have the first ingredient in the truth, you won't have that. But if you don't have the first ingredient and you don't start the hedge right around your home, if you don't have the proper hedge, then you're going to say, well, I'll skip this a little bit. Your kids are watching. They'll see you. Kids will see what you're doing. So we must have truth. We must be honest. We must have righteousness. We must be pure and clean. The Lord Jesus admonishes you and me to be holy, for he is holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy. And we can be that way. We don't have to be going about sinning all the time. We don't need to practice sin. In fact, in John's gospel, John's epistle, he says we don't practice sin if we're saved. So then we must, the children must see that we have truth. They must see that there is righteousness, and then they must see how we walk. Now, in the third thing that we need to have a hedge is our feet properly shod. And they need to see how we're walking. And children will follow you, my friend. A little girl wants to follow her dad in baptism. Now, just an illustration, she would follow him most anywhere he goes. Do you know that? A little boy was told, a little boy was following in the footsteps of his dad, and he was a drunk, and he was just going down like that. But he was following him because he was his dad. He was his daddy. So we must have, our feet must be prepared to walk in the right places. We must be willing to build the hedge around our home so that Satan cannot get in. And he's smarter than you are if you're not letting the Lord Jesus be the one who guides you to build that hedge. And then the fourth ingredient for that hedge is the helmet. And we're speaking about the head there. We're speaking about the knowledge that is there. And it must be protected with wisdom and salvation. Your kids need to know about salvation. They need to know the wisdom of God. They need to know that the wisdom of God is the ability to understand and be knowledgeable of the things that are in the Word of God. Wisdom and knowledge are not the same thing. Well, I won't get into that this evening. But we need to be able to have our heads the way that they should be. Our heads should be in tune with our heart, and our heart should be right with God. And then the fifth thing that we see that is necessary for the sixth thing that we see for the The head is the sword of the Spirit. We must be ready to use the Word of God for our protection and for your kids' protection. You should be ready to die for your kids. You wouldn't be any kind of a man at all. I don't care who you are. If someone would come in here or any place and assault your wife and you'd just stand by, you should be willing to die for that woman if you love her. You should be willing to die for those kids. But I'm only using that for an example. We should be willing to give our all to our kids because they're a gift to us. They're God's gift to you and God's gift to me. And we need to have this protection. We need to fight for them. We need to be able to teach them. We need to have the knowledge in our head so that we can tell them what God wants us to tell them. Now, it's important that you tell them what God wants you to tell them, and everything that God wants you to tell them is in that book. Everything. So we must be able to do that. And as we're thinking about a baptism tonight, baptism is saying that I am following the Lord Jesus Christ. I've accepted him. I'm buried with him in baptism, and I'm going to walk in the newness of the resurrected life. And that's what we're saying to Johnny this evening. He's taking a great responsibility on his shoulders because he's saying to this assembly, I've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, and I am following him in baptism. And we're going to have our eyes on him. You know that? Because he said that. He said that he's doing, and we're going to have our eyes on him. Now, it's the same thing with the children. Now, she's going to have her eyes on him, too. You know that? She's going to have her eyes on him. More so than we. Because we're only going to see him a couple times a week. She's going to see him all the time. Her eyes are going to be on him. He needs to be careful about this head that he is building. So, if the above seven things are not heeded, there will be holes in the hedge. And you see, there's not much protection there. Someone or something can slip in, and the enemy doesn't need a very big hole. He just needs a wee little ant hole to get started. He just needs a little hole, something that is not done according to God's way and God's will, and he will slip in. And if the hedge is not secure, the house is not ready for occupancy. If the hedge around that house is not secure, the house in which you have taken your family is not ready for occupancy. And I say that with love this evening. And if you're here and you're not saved, you can get saved and start building the hedge. And you can't build a proper hedge if you're not saved. If you're not a child of God, you can have a moral home, you can have a loving home, but you can't have the kind of home that God says that you should have. And so we need to realize that we need to answer what God wants us to answer and know what the ingredients of a home is, or what the ingredients are. And the reason that that is the father the only ingredient that you, in a home? Could you have a home with just a father? Is a mother the only ingredient in a home? You couldn't have a home with just a mother. You see, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1 verse 28, if I'm not mistaken, the Lord said, be fruitful and multiply. He said to the man and the woman, be fruitful and multiply. Multiply with what? Kids. And the Bible says if you have your quiver full of them, that means if you have lots of arrows in your quiver, you're a blessed person. And so we need to realize that that God wants to have a father, he wants to have a mother, he wants to have a children, and that's what makes a home. Now if you can't have them, then you talk to God about it. You know, if you can't have children, that's between you and the Lord, and no one is being critical that way. But it takes for a real home. It takes a father, it takes a mother, and it takes children. For a happy home, it takes a father, it takes a mother, and it takes children. So what does God require to keep the hedge around the home? Look at Matthew's Gospel. Turn back a couple books. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself says in verse 29, and he's talking about divisions here, and here he's talking about the hedge. My friend, if you're a father and you're a mother, you are to be solidified in that home. You're to be together in that home. Look at verse 29. It says, or else how can one enter into a strong man's house? If Satan comes in, he has to be what? More than you. What does it say there? He has to be stronger than you, doesn't he? So he can't enter and spoil your goods if you're stronger than he is. Put on the armor of God that you might fight the fight of faith. And so here he says, put on, or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except first he bind the strong man, and then he'll spoil his house. And if you let him get the holes in the head, he'll bind, my friend. You let him get them in there, and even Christians have to be aware of this. If you mingle with the world day by day, sooner or later, the gate of the head is going to be let open. Now, I'm not saying we're not to be friends with other people, but I'm talking about the intimate fellowship and communion that you have. The Bible says you can't have fellowship if you're born again. I mean true fellowship with Belial. I didn't say it. You argue with God. He says you can't have it. So we must realize that God is... This is the most serious business that there is the raising up of your children, because if we don't raise them in the proper way, sooner or later, someone, even in this assembly, someone in this town, someone in this community is going to hear of a child suicide. It's going on all over the country. It's going on all over the world because the kids are not being related to by their parents and with their parents. So the father and mother must be stronger. They must be stronger, and they must be in agreement. Because if they're not, look at verse 25 in Matthew chapter 12. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided itself against itself cannot stand. So mother and father, you must be in unity with God, and God gives you the directions. Oh, how he gives you the directions to live a fatherly and a motherly life. He gives you that. And children, you are to obey, excuse me, your parents in the Lord. You're to listen to your parents. You're to know that children are a heritage. They're a gift. You're a gift to your parents. You're God's gift to your parents. And God wants you to realize this. Now, let me say this evening. The greatest thing that a kid wants, and he never gets by, or never gets out of that situation, even if he lives to be 99 years old, the greatest thing that a kid wants is to be loved. You know that? You can't outdo love. You just can't outdo love. And kids want to be loved. Parents want to be loved. But kids want to be loved, and kids want to be heard. Now I'm going to shock you with this. Kids want to be disciplined. Kids want to know. Kids want to know just what the situation in the household is. You know, God is love. And we sing that. We sing Jesus loves the little children. And the children want to be loved, and they want to talk. And they want to talk. Usually in the meeting like they are tonight, they're talking all the time. Kids want to talk. And, you know, they're not doing it to be disruptive. Most of the time they're not. The kids just want to talk. And, you know, they never stop that either. And they, especially if they're girls, you know, they never do stop talking. But, you know, a little girl with a doll baby, loving that doll baby or spanking it, either one, is imitating what she has seen. She's imitating a love that's within her or a hate. Maybe she's beating that baby. Maybe she's abusing that baby. How did she find that out? You see, the hedge was not properly built around that home. If she found it out outside, the hedge was not secure. And, you know, God is able to save and God is able to keep. I'm not saying they can't go outside that hedge and go to school and things like that. But God that is able to save is able to keep. But you must be fed day by day, as we sang in the song. Day by day and with each passing moment. And a little boy riding his bike, you know, you can see him. He would be courteous. Or maybe he's like Daddy. And he comes up to the stoplight, and when he grows up and somebody gets under his skin a little bit, hey you, and a couple of curse words, where did he learn that? You see? Where did he learn that? And this is something that we need to be aware of. We need to teach our children to be courteous and to be loving. And when the kids play house, watch. Watch them. They play, and they are imitating what they have seen in your home. It takes time to build a hedge. You can't plant a hedge and have it today. Not unless you go out and transplant it, but that's getting into, you know, that's not getting it the proper way. That's not getting it in the mature way. We need to plant a hedge, and we need to see it mature. We need to take the Word of God, and you don't need to be spoon-fed, you know, by a preacher, and what that is, you know, you're being spoon-fed this evening. You need to be fed for yourself. You need to get into the Word of God and feed for yourself so that you can feed the kids. When you see the birds in the yards down here, and there are many of them down at our yard, and they're always finding something for their young, and they go and feed them. And they come back and get some more, and they go and they feed them. So it takes time to build a hedge and grow to maturity when you're building the hedge. And it always needs to be trimmed. And the Lord Jesus says in John's Gospel, chapter 15, that every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth, so that it will bear more fruit. So you trim your hedge. You want it to look nice, and you want it to be the way that God would want it to be. And questions need to be answered, and they need to be answered properly. When a kid asks a question, they need to have time taken for the question that they ask. And if you don't know the answer, you should seek out the answer for them. You need to talk with them. You need to talk with them, and you need to talk with them. And if you read your Bible, you'll find out that there's many fathers in the Bible, more often than not, that were bad fathers. You think of Isaac, which says in Exodus, or Genesis, I believe it is, Genesis chapter 25 and verse 28, that Isaac preferred Esau, and his wife preferred Jacob. That's jealousy. See, that causes, and Isaac loves Esau because he loved venison. Now, isn't that something? He loved his son because he loved venison. Now, you see, that's not what God wants. God wants us to love those children because of what they are and who they are. And I don't care, my friend, if you have one that is deformed, you love it. It's a heritage, it's a gift from God. And we need to understand this, that if you have one that may not be as beautiful as someone else, she or he should be beautiful to you. We should love them, and we need to talk to them. And you know, David was guilty of this. In 1 Samuel 14, where Absalom was getting ready to rebel against his dad never talked to him. And when Absalom did finally come back, and he came to the king, the king met him, but what did he do? Did he talk to him? No, he kissed him. No, the kids don't want to be kissed if you're not going to talk with them. Kisses don't cure if they don't know the reason. And then later David says, "Oh, Absalom, Absalom, my son, oh, that I could die for you." But he didn't talk to him. We need to talk to our kids. He did not take the time to talk. Dad, the kids ask the question, do you say, "Not now"? Maybe later? Do you say, "Ask your mom, I don't have time"? Is that? Or if they say, "Mom, I don't have time, I'm busy, I have the clothes to wash." My friend, those clothes will wash just as clean 10 minutes later as they will then. Take the time to talk with them. Wouldn't it be better to have dirty clothes and have your children than to have clean clothes and someone come in someday and say, "Whatever your name is, I'm sorry, I have to report to you, your child committed suicide"? What about the hedge that is around your home? Is it trimmed? Dad, can we talk? Dad, can I just have a minute? Too often, you know, there's too many shifts in the house. The mother is on the day shift, and the dad's on the night shift, and the kids just have to shift for themselves. That's the way it is. That's not the way it is to be. You can't build a hedge that way. The hedge has to have boundaries. And when we put a hedge around our property, you know, we have to have it on our property, or we should have. I put a hedge on my property in West Virginia, and I came about 6 or 8 feet on my property and put the hedge there. so that I would never have an argument with my neighbor. And I told my sons that. So that I would never have an argument, not because my head was on my property, 6 feet on my side. And I went over, and when I mowed, I went on the other side, and I mowed what was over here. I mowed on my side, and I mowed over there. But we have to, you see, that it has to have boundaries, and it has to be on our property, and, you know, how far can we go? You see, the boundary. How far can we go, Dad? Let's cheat a little bit. Let's just take a little bit. Let's take an inch or two that doesn't belong to us. Kids are watching. Mom says, well, you know, this boundary stuff, I can talk to this fellow across the street and, you know, maybe I can make some eyes at him. The boundary says no. You see, sooner or later you do that, you're going to get in trouble and your kids are going to see it. And my friend, it's sex and it's dope and it's alcohol and it's incest and it's things like that. Kids don't know where to turn. And they need to know where to turn, and they don't know what the boundaries are in most places. And they need to know where the boundaries are, and they need to know, they want to know, and they don't want to know if they're 12 years old, if they can come in at 12 o'clock or 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock in the morning. If they do want to know that, the answer should be no. You see, this is something that is so necessary. But do the kids see in us the truth in the boundaries? You know, some people feel that home should not be a place to go when you're tired of being nice to people. Did you hear what I said? Home should not be a place to go when you're tired of being nice to people. Does the boundary forbid suicide? In Psalm 116, verse 15, the only answer that I can give you from the Word of God, Psalm 116 and verse 15, it says, precious in the sight of God is the death of His saints. And then in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 13, God says, thou shalt not kill. Do kids know that it is not the way out? Do they know that suicide is not the way out? Have they seen a boundary around their home? Do they have love within their home? And my Bible says that love covers a multitude of what? Sins. It will cover that. And so the kids know that, do they know that it's not a way out? I don't know. Can a Christian commit suicide? I don't know. I don't know. But it surely would receive a sharp rebuke at the judgment seat of Christ if they could. My friend, taking a life which God calls precious is not what God wants, but Proverbs 22 and 6 says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from him. Build the hedge away, God says, and God has honor bound to keep his promise, and God will. But my friend, we need to listen to God, and we say, we've done all these things and our kids have gone astray. No, you haven't. There's a hole in the hedge someplace. There's a hole that you have not admitted to. Just like Job, he said, I've seen thee, now I've seen thee, and I pour myself in sackcloth and ashes. No self-righteousness can come before God. Now let me explain, when I think about a Christian committing suicide, I imagine I was speaking with Rudy and we were talking about this, that in a mental situation it possibly could be. You know, and someone were given medicine or something in that situation, but it is not the normal. But don't tell your kids that they can. Don't let them take a chance because, you know, I don't know. Now, I'm telling you from the Word of God, I don't know, so don't take the chance. The Bible says, get saved. Put your trust in God. Let Him guide you. And just don't take a chance. Turn to Christ. Don't turn to the gun. Don't turn to the knife. Don't turn to drugs. Don't turn to pills. Turn to Christ. That's how we build the hedge. Now let me ask you, is your house ready for occupancy? Is the hedge in place? Or do you need a house cleaning? I'm asking you. I'm not telling you. But from the Word of God, is your house ready for occupancy? I don't care if you've been married for 25 years. I'm asking you, is your house ready for occupancy? Is the hedge in place? Or does it need a house cleaning? You say, oh Lord, this is such a tremendous load. You can't use that. You can't use that as an excuse. The Lord says, I told Peter to tell you to cast all your care upon me, for I care for you. He says, my son told you in Matthew's Gospel 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He said, that you can't do that. You haven't built the hedge right. You're making excuses. So my friend, the Lord says, yes, it is a tremendous load, and it's a hard job to build the hedge the way that God wants it to be built and to keep it in perfection. It's a hard, hard job. But my friend, we've never been promised an easy road in the Bible. As Ruth Jones, I believe, wrote, it's not an easy road. And my mom used to get it mixed up a little bit, and she said, it's a rough old road. Well, it was. She had 9 kids. And it was a rough old road. And so, but God wants us to realize that He's with us, as Rudy said this evening. And often we make that mistake of asking Him to be with us. We don't have to do that. He's already told us. And when God tells us something, it's already there. We don't have to make a decision on that. So let's look here in Titus 2 in closing before we have our baptism. And we have some songs. Titus chapter 2. And look at verse 3. The aged women likewise. Now if you're 22 years old, you're an aged woman to these kids that are 5. Now you might as well face up to it, you are. So if you're 42 years old, you're old to that 22 year old person. So it just keeps going on. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as become a holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober. That means to have the right type of mind, to be concerned, and to love their husbands. They need to be taught to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, to be chaste, to be keepers at home. Now, I didn't write that in there. To be keepers at home, the word of the good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Now I'm starting on the men. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded in all things. Now listen, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, have the proper head, have the right boundaries, in doctrine showing uncorruptibleness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech, that cannot be condemned, that he that is in of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. That's about what I've been speaking this evening. So we're going to have a baptism here this evening, following Christ. And that's the first step. And everyone in here who's been baptized should go beyond the first step. The hedge does not end with one root. We start and we build and we build and we build until we're in there and we're safe. Safe in the arms of Jesus. The song's like that. And I don't think really that's a scriptural song. I think we're safe as the arms of Jesus. See, we're in Christ Jesus. You see, safe as the arms of Jesus. And, well, the other may be scriptural too, but anyhow, that's how safe I am. I'm as safe as the arms of Jesus. You may be safe as in the arms of, I won't argue with you. But let's think about this thing. Are these folks that are taking the first step tonight, we have a responsibility as the ones in their church home to build the hedge, to help them build the hedge around their home, to feed them, to nurture them, to be able to guide them and lead them so that they can get into this Word of God and know what it says and have a happy home and be joined together where they will be together for eternity. And as the song goes, will the circle be unbroken? And I say, if we do it according to the Word of God in Acts chapter 16, and be saved and thy house, God will honor His Word. God wants your household to be saved. God wants your household to be strong. But my friend, you must be strong one way, in the Lord, not in your own works, not in your own deeds, but you build the hedge and you ask Him for every step of the direction that you take, you ask Him, Lord, am I doing it correctly? If you're not, He'll show you. So, as Rudy comes now and we sing some hymns, let's think together with how are we, how am I? How am I going to be one who is going to be able to help God, this little girl, and help God, this young man, You know, they don't know that much about the Word of God. But God wants them to, and God's given them the ability to. So let's be kind and teach them in the right way.
Secure your hymnal, please, and turn with me to page 548. As they are changing their attire and get ready for the baptismal, I think this evening should stand not under just that we sing baptismal hymns, but also under the idea of consecration. For all of us, it would be good if we too would consider to consecrate ourselves once again to the Lord as these do, and that their obedience to take this step of baptism. So I decided, feel led tonight to sing these hymns of consecrations, beginning with, "Take my life and let it be."